going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
With 4 picks in the top 72, fair to assume that you can find 3 players who can either start or have a major impact?
Yeah, yep. And if the board falls the right way, I think there's opportunity at 4.
I feel really confident where we're at. I think this one's going to be a little wild, but we're going to be prepared for all the different scenarios that pop up.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
It is draft day on 670 The Score, and we are excited to have our guest in studio. It is Herb Howard. We love to talk to you about everything, whether it's the NBA and the trends of three-pointers, which apparently players agree with you about.
Oh, my goodness.
Mostly football, because you ask such great questions all the time in press conferences, and just life. So he is in studio with us. He's the Bears beat reporter for the Bigs. He is at Herb Howard 411 on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Herb, thanks for joining us.
What's going on? Thank y'all for having me down here.
What is the 411? What's going on with this draft, man? I mean, it's real slow moving, and it feels like a ticking time bomb. And then you heard what Ryan Poles said. It's going to be wild.
Yeah, you know, every year as it gets closer, you just start to hear more and more rumors, more and more trends. This player's shooting up the board. This player sliding down the board. And everybody's got an agenda. The agents have an agenda. The teams have an agenda, right? So you never really know like what's just noise and what's an actual tip of something that may actually occur tonight. So I'm just looking forward to it, man. As far as the Bears go, it's one of the rare times where I really don't have a great feel for what they're going to do. Like, they can do so many things because of what they've already done this offseason that it's really kind of up in the air of what they're actually going to do.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I feel like there are teams that say they've put themselves in a position to draft the best player available, but I think the Bears actually showed you how they are able to do that right now.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. They came like a month or two ago, we'd have all said, okay, they have to address the offensive line. They have to address the defensive line at 10, one of the two. And now, sure, they still need some things there, but if they end up with a playmaker, nobody's going to be upset about that. Whereas before, I'd have been like, no, they don't have the luxury of going to get a player like an Ashton Jeanty or even a Tyler Warren at the time. Now I think both of those guys are in play for you, depending on what happens in front of them.
What's the likelihood, you think, that one of those guys is actually available at 10?
I think Tyler Warren could get there. I don't really think Ashton Jeanty could get to 10. I don't really see that. But I think Tyler Warren could get there if they actually take the quarterbacks. If Shedeur Sanders goes along with Cam Ward, of course you got the other guys at the top, and then you get into those tackles. Will Campbell? Does anybody take Membo earlier than maybe some people think they will? Then maybe I could see a case where Tyler Warren gets to 10. I don't really see that for Jeanty.
It seems like it doesn't matter what year it is. Quarterbacks drive the draft, and mainly because even if they're not the best players available, because we all. BPA, best player available. If you need a quarterback, you need a quarterback. Period. And if you see someone you think can be the quarterback, you're more likely to roll the dice at that position than any other position as far as reaching. And We know Cam Ward is going to be the number one pick for the Tennessee Titans. That's sure. that's what we know. We know Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, and whatever were is going to probably be yeah. 2-3. And somebody may at the last second trade up to get there, but that's kind of what we know. After that, it is a free-for-all, and we don't even know if there will be another quarterback drafted in the first round. What are your feelings about all this quarterback talk heading into the day of?
I just think it's interesting, specifically when you look at what's happening with Shadur, right? You watch his tape, you look at his stats, he checks the boxes, right? But then you say, well, he's not that tall. Well, he's never been that tall. You know what I mean? And so I always feel that way when they talk about this with these quarterbacks, whether it's Kyler Murray or whoever. It's like, well, he's not that tall. Well, he wasn't that tall when he was an All-American in high school. And he wasn't that tall when he became a first-round pick. Like, it just is what it is. I think he's checked all the boxes. I think he's a great teammate. I think he's someone who could handle being the face of a franchise, maybe in a market like New York. I think he could handle that because, you know, he was kind of brought up in it. He seems to do well with that. And so, you know, I don't think he has a rocket arm, but I think he's very accurate. I think he knows the game at a high level. And so I don't understand, you know, some of the things that go on when they start to talk about, you know, nitpicking his game and why he may slide down the board and maybe Jackson Dart jumps up and he becomes the number two quarterback. You just never know. You got to wait and see what that first domino is to fall.
Oh, I'm smiling. And you know why. Why Shadur Sanders would fall down the board and why Jackson Dart would move up the board.
Yeah.
I mean,
what's the reason?
There's subtext there.
What's
there's
the subtext?
Bias.
Say more.
I thought we were past that. You know what I mean?
Like, I didn't.
When I was growing up, you know, playing the position and having my own aspirations, it was just rare. It was like, you guys can't think the game. Y'all can just run around. It's like, I can't run at all. Like, you know what I mean?
I like the self-awareness.
You know what I mean? Like, but that was the perception. And then I thought we got to a point where that's not really the case. You look around the league and there's just so many black quarterbacks that are playing the game at a high level, both as dual threat quarterbacks and also as pocket passers. And so, you know, it'd be nice for that not to be a thing. You know what I mean? I felt like we had gotten there, but then maybe not.
I'm not necessarily saying that's the case, mm-hmm. but I do think we should always think about factors that would play into that.
If you
can't answer the question as watching as much ball as you do and knowing as much ball as you do, then you begin to wonder. And, you know, there is representation at the player level, but what about at the talent evaluation level?
Mm. Well, I wonder.
And even like the prognosticators about the draft level, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I wonder even also when you're looking at the quarterbacks specifically, some people are apt to focus on the positives and others will focus on the negatives. And I'm like, where's the balance there?
That's where it needs to be.
From player to player, it seems like you're really high on him because of this and you're really low on him because of this. Even though he can do these things and even though the player that you're real high on, he has some faults as well. Everybody's got faults. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There are a few perfect players.
No.
I think in this draft, there might be, three? Travis Hunter, there's Carter, and then who else would you say is a prototype? Like, that guy, I want him because I think he can be a Hall of Famer on my team.
Those are the only two, right? I know the tape on Ashton Jeanty looks good, but there's a legitimate question about the level of competition.
Right.
That's a legitimate question. I love his tape. It looks phenomenal, right? He could potentially be one of those generational running backs. I'm not saying he can't. But Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, they check every box in terms of what you see on tape, who they played against. Like, all of that stuff shows up for them. And the only question about Jeanty would be level of competition.
I want to ask you this personal question. I don't even know if I got your answer on this, but I have declared myself a Power Four supremacist.
Okay.
And what that means is if you didn't do it in the Power Four here in the NIL era, I don't know if I trust what you did.
NIL era part is key.
Yeah, no, that's what it is. Like, that's why I feel like I have to be a Power Four supremacist at this time based on what you said. If you played against a Mountain West schedule, like, you might be great.
No knock.
No knock, but I just know when I see the Power Four guys going again, I know what their schedules look like, especially if you played in the Big Ten or in the SEC, right? Yeah. And so I look at Ashton Jeanty, and I'm just kind of like, yes, you broke a lot of tackles, but the guys who were trying to tackle you, how good were they?
Could you get 200 on Georgia?
Yeah.
Like,
that's it. That's the bar. Like, if you're trying to figure out the standard, that's the issue. Mm-hmm. And even in the college game, think about how much missed tackles factor into how we evaluate the college players overall. In conferences like the SEC, we're still talking about how quarterbacks fix busted plays. Those plays don't bust in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, so you're with me? Are you on my bandwagon? Are you part of my ministry?
I mean, I've been there, but like there are talents, at least in the past, who would supersede it. And you knew based on what you were seeing, you would know a non-conference schedule, for example, like this guy is showing out in August in 0 week or week one or two, then you know exactly what you're
playing
viewing.
North Texas, you know what it is.
And we had some go pro.
Really, if you play against Mississippi State, you know what it is too. And that's SEC.
But that's the point is you know who's standing out there. I think Ashton Jeanty is the recipient of some good timing here.
Sure.
Because Saquon Barkley put everybody on notice and said, you really want to undervalue me? Look what happens. Eagles win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And at a time where there was a dip in the value of the position, I think the NFL is now reckoning with that. But also, there are some excellent running backs in this draft.
It's a deep class.
And that's a big part of it to me. I often am not just thinking about who they're drafting. I'm thinking about how expensive it's going to be to retain that person.
Sure.
Or what's the likelihood of you filling that spot, especially on the offensive line via free agency.
On a first-round pick, you want them to be on your team for a decade. That's the album cover, right?
You want them to get the second contract. So
yes.
That part of it, I'm okay with. Like, if you come out and you earn a $100 million second contract, great, because these first 4 years must have went really, really well. You know what I mean? So I'm okay with that part of it. But when you start to talk about, you know, how deep is the class at a particular position, right, versus other positions of need. This isn't a ready-made, complete roster. Sure, they've addressed some of their holes, but they still have some. This isn't a team that's ready to legitimately compete for a Super Bowl in 2025. And so you start to weigh things out. Do I want a running back when maybe I can get another one, you know, in the second or third round? They've got four in the top 72. That's a good place to be in. And so if you don't think other positions are that deep, maybe you address them sooner.
I also want to ask you this. When you heard Ryan Poles say it can get crazy in the draft, what did you think when he said that?
I just thought he was talking about, you know, like you never know who's going to jump up and do something that is completely unexpected. And that's the first domino I was alluding to earlier. When that happens, it kind of shifts everything that happens thereafter. But what was most intriguing to me was the way he answered, I think it was Brad Biggs' question about the pool of players that he thought would be available to him once they were on the board. And I don't know. I've tried to read body language and energy and all that. And something about the way Ryan Poles answered that particular question gave me like these trade up vibes. And the whole time I've been like, no, the Bears can't trade up. Lately, I start to get to the place where I say, okay, if Mason Graham slides to that 7-8 range, I could see them go ahead and move up for that. But something about the way he answered that question to me was just like,
threw you off.
I don't know what it was. I can't really pinpoint it. I can't say it was this word, that word. It was just something about the energy that was like, he might move up.
That's the point. Yeah. It's never about what they're actually saying.
Yeah, no.
It's about how they talk around it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the voice of Herb Howard. He is the Bears beat reporter for the Bigs, joining us here on the midday show on the Score. That's Layla Rahimi. I'm Marshall Harris, and we're honored to have Herb in studio to get those real life vibes.
Pleasure is all mine.
And the other thing I'm looking at is, as you look around at other teams' needs, do you feel like we've been able to calibrate a general sense of what the teams picking 1 through 9 are after?
It's a good question. I think to a degree, right? You talk about those first three, probably. And if I'm Cleveland, I love Travis Hunter. He's phenomenal. But the idea of just putting Abdul Carter on the opposite edge of Myles Garrett to me is just like, just do that. Like,
terrifying.
Just do that, man. Like, we don't got to figure out if we're going to play Travis Hunter, offense and defense, how many snaps. That dude from Penn State, put him on the other side of Myles Garrett, and then we don't even need to score anymore. Like, don't matter who plays quarterback in Cleveland no more. Like that's what I would do. But either way, I think, you know, those three, we kind of have some sense of how that's going to go. But then what does Jacksonville do at 5? Who are the Patriots targeting before that? Those things we really don't know. And it's going to be that first thing that kind of surprises everybody that's going to say, whoa, this thing just opened up in a way that maybe we didn't expect.
Well, and that's the part of it that is really compelling about the teams that are in front of the Bears. You have an idea of what their needs are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they did in free agency. So then it becomes, are you drafting for your biggest need available?
Yeah.
Or are they drafting for who they think is the best? And it's just what you talked about. All these teams have major holes.
Yep.
So therefore, What is the end game here for them? Yeah, and that's what makes this, I think, such a wild card is you can play out a bunch of scenarios where you're kind of going to know who you want at 10. It's if somebody trades up or somebody gets aggressive. Like, the Saints, to me, are such a question mark in all of this, given their quarterback situation with Derek Carr.
Yeah. If they choose to go quarterback there, if they choose to say, we want Shadur, or, hey, Jackson Dart played right up the street, we know a lot about him, we really like that kid, and they take him there, again, that's just another dart that's kind of thrown in there that kind of shifts what can then happen for the Bears at 10 and then everybody else behind them. I look at what the Bears have done so far in this offseason. I really like the moves, but they all still come with some questions or some little caveats to say, okay, well, Joe Tooney's going to be here for how long?
Well, didn't Grady he say in the press conference that Joe Tooney, that's somebody they want to extend?
Yeah, that's something.
That was more clear than anything else we got out of that press conference.
Yeah, that's about it.
It's going to be wild or it's going to be crazy. I forget which one. Yeah, and wild. Mm-hmm. Yes,
so
he did
is the
say
mirrors
wild.
And the smoke, except for that.
Right.
I actually liked that Ryan Pohl said that, but the actual important thing was the Joe Tooney piece.
Yeah, you figure out, like, okay, well, how long is he going to be here? Do you start to replenish the interior of the offensive line, at least for that next generation, start that pipeline up again? What about Grady Jarrett on the other side of the ball? Same thing. What about Dayo Odengbo? We don't really know. We're gambling on that, and they paid a pretty nice penny for that ticket, right? But we don't know that they can cash that ticket in.
So this segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
It is a gamble, but there's no confusion as to how they plan to utilize Dayo Odengbo, because he's a big part of the plan, because – look at the money they gave him.
Right. And he fits. He fits what Coach Allen wants to do, right? We understand that DA likes those types of DNs. They're tall. They're long. They can move up and down the defensive line. He fits, right? And I think going back to what Ryan Pohl had said earlier this offseason, when he says, you know, when the vision is clear, you can be aggressive. And I think for the first time in a long time, the Bears have a clear vision of what they want to do. I'm not sitting here telling you that's going to come to pass. I'm not saying it's going to work, but they have a clear vision of what they want to do, and that's the first step towards being successful.
Well, and also, I think about this quote from Courtney Cronin yesterday. She passed this along. Mickey Loomis told reporters today that the team does not have clarity. The Saints, Loomis is the Saints GM, does not have clarity on Derek Carr's shoulder injury.
That sounds pretty clear.
She goes, that's an absolute absurd statement for a general manager to make. She's right. Having clarity on injuries affecting the most important positions on your quarterback or on your roster is your number one job. And if you're lying or withholding, why? And then she says, what a dumpster. But that seems to me to be the case. You're probably withholding. You mean to tell me there's not a doctor and a five-state radius that can't – come on. That's just not true.
It could be that the player has a different medical opinion coming to him from his own people than the team does, and that's why there's no clarity.
No, they're doing it to be sneaky in the draft. The funniest part is, do you know who sponsors the Saints press conferences?
No.
Ochsner Health, a hospital system. And you're up there saying – so he's got them in the background.
We don't know what's up with the shoulder, man.
Saying this. Over his shoulder. It's like, man, you know.
Yeah,
you
I've done the scans, know. The MRIs. I've done all the tests. Whatever is going on with his shoulder, you all know what it is. Now, if you know how long it's going to take or whatever, maybe, maybe not. But you know what it is he's dealing with.
The only reason I think that might be a question is if they have to do exploratory surgery.
Sure.
Yeah. Which is never good, by the way. The fact that you have to go to that depth to figure out what's wrong, that's never good.
They had a quarterback there that came in with the shoulder issue, and it worked out pretty well for them.
Oh, Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah, Drew.
And he wasn't tall either.
Was not tall.
Was not tall.
To say the very least.
Could not move and was not tall.
Right. But yet still won games.
Okay.
Amazing.
We have very specific things we want to talk about. So this is probably when we should take a break, right? Because let me line it up for the people. The three of us.
You're very excited.
Herb Howard, Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. We're going to talk about what we want to see the Bears do at 10 or with their first round pick situation. What we don't want. And what's the most likely actual Bears outcome?
Panic. I like this game.
Those
I
things like... are usually so far.
That's
Wait,
the point.
What's the it's the is it the villain bit? Let's play a game.
Want to play a game?
There it is. Okay. Thank you.
From Saul.
I need help there, guys. I do. So more with Herb Howard as we talk about the NFL draft on the Midday Show on The Score next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Do you guys have a real sense that things are going to start popping?
It could get wild, Brad. It could get wild. Sit back and watch.
Hello. Do you want to play a game?
Bears.
I like that we all went to different mental places when we asked the question, do you want to play a game?
Yeah.
And this is Marshall's game. We have Herb Howard in with us on the Midday Show on The Score. Herb, of course, the Bears beat reporter for It's the Bigs. I say It's the Bigs. Is that wrong?
Yes.
Why?
It's the Bigs is our Twitter handle. The name is just The Bigs.
The Bigs Media.
Yeah. And I always think of, like, It's the Bigs, it's us.
It's, I get it, because
It's the Bigs, it's us.
Well, that's our tagline,
LLC.
It's us. Yeah. Yeah. So
I do all the things.
I get it.
You're cutting into our time here. This is important.
Marshall has a very important game.
Three important questions we want to ask. And, you know, you guys chime in on the text line, whatever. Okay.
Twitch.
What? Yeah, Twitch. Mob. What do you want to see the Bears do with their first round pick? That is the question. We'll start with our guest, Herb. What do you want? What would be, this is the ultimate outcome tonight.
I want them to continue to address the defensive line. I look at what the Eagles have done over there, and they have waves of dudes getting after the quarterback. They take four on, they bring four off, and they just keep coming with the pass rush. And the Bears, they don't have that. They have one proven edge rusher. One. And I know we feel like, hey, they've done some good things, and they brought in Odangbo, and we think he's going to turn some of those hurries and pressures into sacks. But we're just hoping. We're just hoping. And ideally, he'll kick in on third downs, kick inside, and then who's going to do it? Austin Booker showed some signs. I like his athleticism. I think he can develop and be a contributor for you. But we don't know that. Not to say that we know that about whatever incoming rookie, but we have to continue to add to that part of it. You got to be able to affect the quarterbacks in your division and on your schedule. So I would like to see them go at the edge position. Maybe Mykael Williams from Georgia. I say that because he mostly, more than the others, fits the mold of the type of edge rushers that Dennis Allen prefers. But I also wouldn't mind if they were, say, take Mike Green, the kid from Marshall.
Oh,
say,
you're in on Mike Green.
Well, we're ready for the people with the.
This is your dream. You could say trade up. You could say trade down. Whatever you want in the first round can happen. That's why we asked the question the way we did. Yeah. What do you want?
I think I want Green.
Okay. So there you have Herb's answer, Layla.
Herb is going defensive line for the record.
Yeah.
I will do something similar, but on the opposite side of the ball. I want another offensive lineman. I don't care. Give me all the offensive linemen.
Y'all got
a lot of problems you need to fix.
If you can pick, who do you want?
Well, Will Campbell, but likely, yes. Okay, so that's my answer, that is ideally Will Campbell. I
find a way to have Will Campbell, the board drops
at 10.
And Will Campbell is there at 10, although all those other
complete
teams
the
ahead
overhaul,
of you.
Man.
Yeah. Okay. I got you. As far as me, what do I want? I want somebody who can get to the quarterback as well. It doesn't have to be an edge rusher. Just, you know, so if it's Mason Graham, that's fine. If you want to, you know, I'm not big on trading up for other people, but if you find a way to get Abdul Carter.
Oh, my goodness.
See, that's why I'm saying this is where you could just put your dreams into the air.
They're gonna but they're going to have to trade like one of those top four picks.
That's fine.
In addition.
That's fine.
Listen.
No, it is not. It is not fine.
Is it
yes,
fine?
Yes, it is.
Why do you think this? Because they need so many people.
Because I think he's Micah Parsons. That's why.
Oh,
like,
man.
Go get that dude. Get him for 4 years on a rookie deal. And listen, you got me charged up, bro. I think it may cost them maybe more than that. I would be willing to give them next year's first.
Next year's first had better.
Because next year's first should be low to mid 20s.
Yep. Yeah, remind me what you said the Bears record was going to be before the season started. Exactly. So you can't
lean
into that.
All right, let's say that
they can't be in the top 10 again.
Let's say 20. Let's say that the Bears are 20.
If it was 20, would I make that move? Yeah, but you really got to hit on the rest of these picks this year.
Well, and
they haven't done it. All right. Round two.
I'm like trying to whisper to Herb on air.
What do you absolutely not want? Like, this is the doomsday scenario. What is the doomsday scenario in the first round?
Doomsday, that might be a little strong because I think the kid's going to have a good career, but I do not want them to trade up for Ashton Jenkins. I do not want that to happen.
Wow.
Don't trade up for that running back. He may be the next one, but there are others. There are others. And trading up for him may be more expensive than I think we can do right now for a position that you can get production from elsewhere.
You see how his whole tone changed when the name was Ashton Jeanty instead of Abdul Carter? I just want to point that out because what I'm saying right now is Herb Howard from the Bigs just come in. And he has vindicated my very feelings on the same matter. Whatever you do, do not trade up for Ashton Jeanty. That is the doomsday scenario. There's too many running backs out here.
Interesting that this piece of paper, I don't know if y'all can see this.
That's from David Haw.
This piece of paper says, Ashton Jeanty, no matter what.
That's David Haw.
Is this Haw?
Speaking of yes. David Haw, who texted me last segment, by the way, and said, and I quote, two best Bears defensive players this century came from New Mexico and Buffalo. Was that during the NIL era?
Correct? No, it was not.
That's my answer to David Haw.
No, it was not.
But so we are aligned.
We knew who Urlacher was in college, by the way.
Yeah.
By the way.
All right, Layla, you're up. Doomsday scenario.
What do you not want to happen? I'm getting weird here.
Get
I'm
weird.
I'm doing the Mr. Burns, like, with your hands and the fingers tapping against each other. So if there's one thing I know that Ryan Poles loves above all else, it is relative athletic score. Yeah. And I think that man might have fallen in love with Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M because he was nearly a 10 relative athletic score, had the best combine ever. But I think there's a reason he didn't have high sack numbers, even though he was in the SEC against quality opponents, my friend Marshall Harris.
Yeah.
And so I think that would be a mistake at 10 is to draft him too high because you fell in love with his RAS because that is what you really care about.
That would be a mistake.
But
it would be the first time he's made that mistake.
As soon as I saw that RAS, I was like, oh no.
It's giving Kevin White vibes.
Oh no.
Why are you trying to traumatize Bears fans on this hopeful day that is NFL draft day number one?
All I'm saying is they both look like freakish athletes in shorts and t-shirts, and they do all the stuff. They get all the numbers. They lift all the weights. They jump through the higher than the sticks on the vertical thing.
I'm dying laughing at this 847 who has the right idea about draft rumors. I saw Abdul Carter kick a puppy and punch a child while wearing a gas mask.
Right.
He isn't a top nine pick at all.
He hates babies.
Obviously, this is said with a lot of humor, so yes. I thought that was great.
Make him slide down the board.
I heard him say that he hates the NFL, except for the Bears.
Yeah, he doesn't like football.
Yeah, nope, not at all.
Okay. So those are we are two-thirds of the way here. Now, here's the sobering point, the sobering question, if you will. We're with Herb Howard from The Bigs Media. He's the Bears beat reporter, and he's joining us live in studio to answer important questions here ahead of round one of the NFL draft, which begins in earnest in prime time. Herb, what's the actual, in your mind, most likely Bears decision with their first round pick tonight?
I look at the board, and I don't see Will Campbell getting to 10. I don't actually think the Bears would do what's necessary to go up and get Abdul Carter.
Crushing his dreams.
But I do think Tyler Warren could make it to 10. And I think that he's intriguing enough of a prospect, especially to Ben Johnson, that they would go ahead and draft him if he's there. I think the most likely scenario of the things that I think could happen is that they draft Tyler Warren.
That was very sobering. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Layla?
I agree with Herb about the likelihood of Will Campbell being there or the likelihood of Abdul Carter getting drafted by the Bears. I think they likely take Kelvin Banks for that reason. The offensive lineman from Texas.
Are you good with that?
I'm very good with that.
Okay, because you want offensive line. Okay.
Yep, I'm wish casting in this entire scenario.
Are you good with that?
I'm fine with it, but there's an admission of guilt there that GMs don't like to do.
What's the admission of guilt with that one?
They were
that
wrong.
I wasted a third-round pick last year on a huge reach, right? And there's nothing I can do with him now.
They've wasted third-round picks on other things.
Well, they didn't do it on purpose with those other things. I don't know what they thought they were doing. I guess they thought he would, you know, take over for Braxton, but then he doesn't get any training camp reps. You throw him into the deep end in Minnesota. He shows a little improvement in Washington, but now you dip back into that left tackle pool and you just thrown that third round.
They drafted him knowing he was injured too, and didn't think that was a question mark out of the Ivy League. And like nobody's questioning the guy's character at all.
Nah.
It's just these are the facts surrounding him as a football player. The other thing too is that tell me about the third round pick of Zach Pickens.
Yeah.
We want to start doing that.
Yeah,
we don't want to start going over picks because
with Anthony Harris.
That's going to make you upset. That's going to make you upset looking at the last three draft class.
The muff.
Also from 630 on the text line, call this man Triple H, Honest Herb Howard. This guy needs to be on more.
We love
ringing endorsements coming in on the text line.
I appreciate that 630. Thank you.
Okay, so most likely thing to happen.
We're not trying to bum people out either. 847. Sorry.
Here's my most likely thing to happen. Most Bears likely, it's what's going to happen. The Bears are going to trade up, get rid of one of their second round picks to take Mason Graham.
Ooh,
that's what I think is going to happen. I think Mason Graham's going to fall to 8.
And that's the range I think where you can go and strike.
And they're going to move up to get him, and I'm going to be upset because it's like I get it. Mason Graham's good. I wish you would have waited to see what was out there because I think they need to make sure they get 4 guys, 4 playmakers, 4 starters. If not day one starters, call them year one starters.
Yeah.
That they can, because one thing we know, depth has been an issue on this team since forever.
Sure.
And if you can get the tackle, as you eloquently stated, if you can get the playmaker, as you said, Ben Johnson could scheme his way out of some stuff, but he can't scheme his way out of giving up 30 points a game.
No.
And that's the issue here. And I think it's going to be interesting. One thing, my biggest takeaway from tonight, regardless, will be, hey, I feel like I know whose draft this is, whether it's Ryan Poles' draft or Ben Johnson's draft.
I think it should be both. I've gotten that question a lot, like who do I think is in control? Or I think they should have a really balanced relationship, like a perfect working marriage that says, hey, I'm coaching this team and I want them to be able to do this. These are the guys I need to do that. Remember when Bill Parcells was like, yo, if you want me to cook the dinner, at least let me buy the groceries, right? That makes sense to me, right? So I think it should be this collaboration between Coach Johnson, between Ryan Poles, the scouting department. Just figure this thing out. These are the players that fit the things we want to do on the field. Can you go get them for us? Well, I can get these guys, not these guys, because of this reason or that reason. And then just make it work.
I'm not trying to throw reverse shade on Matt Eberflus here, like giving him too much credit,
here comes
I guess.
The shade.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's the opposite. I feel like they did that with Matt Eberflus. Mm. Like, take Karan Amagaji, for example. Mm. Who met him on the golf course?
Yeah.
You know, who put himself on his radar? Again, yeah. Savvy move. I'd have done the same thing.
Yeah.
I thought that was a brilliant thing to do. But I do think that he had more of a hand in the last several classes. Not that necessarily all the blame goes there or whatever, but I do think he influenced how Ryan Poles drafted in the last few classes. Poles has to ask him, hey, what can you do with this guy? That's got to be a discussion for everybody.
And also, we workshopped the whole Bill Parcells quote that you brought up.
Yeah.
And so what we've decided is, in this instance, what we want is Ryan Poles to be, and it's not going far enough to say the Instacart shopper, but the person that lives with you and you cook all the meals.
Yeah.
At some point, you take them to the grocery store and explain the process so that when you need them to go pick up something, they can go do it, and you have confidence that they're going to make the right selection going through the produce aisle.
Yeah.
That's what we need to see out of Ryan Poles.
Yeah.
Can you go and pick up the groceries that are needed by Dennis Allen and Ben Johnson tonight and for the next 3 days?
Yeah. I think he should be able to, right? I think he should be able to.
You've got a hit on your first four picks in a way you have not hit on your first four picks yet. Like, and I'm okay with saying, show me what you got. Show me what you've learned in the last 3 years and who this guy is as your head coach to tell me. I want to be excited about every single person that you're drafting.
Huh? Three of those dudes got to re-sign.
Yeah, you're right. Herb, while we have you, I know you're a busy man today. What's on your docket as far as your projects, what you're putting out there, and then what you're doing?
I'm working on a piece that's going to go up on thebigs.us this afternoon. So I've got to finish that up before Terrence Tomlin kills me. And
hi, Terrence. Said, what up? I missed that guy.
Yeah, so I got to get that done. And then I'm going to head up to Hallis before traffic gets too bad. So I'll just hang out up there and wait around. It should be a fun night. I'm looking forward to. I always look forward to the draft, but I think this one should be particularly fun because of what it could potentially mean for the Bears if they get this right.
Suspenseful, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Or as Ryan Poles said, wild. Let's go. Let's get weird this week. Herb Howard, always a pleasure to have you in studio.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Herb. Coming up next, it is high noon. The drive for 20 is real. Do you remember the bet we made?
What? I don't remember.
I will remind you
okay,
next.
Well, also, there's this thing about how Oscars voters, they have new guidelines. And the fact that these guidelines weren't in place before, it will blow your mind.
It'll tell you a lot about what happened, frankly.
Yeah.
Yes, it will. That's next on the score.
Baseball's all about the games. And the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
It is high noon. We do it every day at about this time. And even though it's NFL draft day, we had a lot to discuss. Number one, PCA is having a moment. So we appreciated that after the Cubs actually swept their miniseries with the Dodgers, the two-game set at Wrigley. So they earned their day off. I hope they're enjoying it. We pay our respects to Steve McMichael, and we had Kevin Butler on. I strongly recommend you go back and listen to it. That was at 10:25. Check out the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. Go back, look at the chapters. He just did a wonderful job about talking about his former teammate. Herb Howard just joined us for two segments in studio to talk about the draft as well, and we had some fun with the game. Things we wanted to have happen, things that we didn't think were happening, and a worst-case scenario than what was likely going to happen. So that was a lot of fun.
I enjoyed it.
I don't know if the Naperville Police Department heard our drive to 20 or what.
Is there more?
Gun arrest number 9, made by the Naperville Police at the Top Golf parking lot.
What was the over-under?
I said 20. That was my bet. The drive for 20 continues.
They're going to get to 20.
They are 100% getting to 20. They've made 5 arrests this month.
It just got warm outside.
It's only April 24th.
It just
What's
got warm outside.
Today?
They're getting their own lineup of gangsters together, PCA.
Wow. You just got a lineup of gangsters.
You got 1 through 9.
Sorry, sir. It'll be
somewhere in here is a Topgolf Naperville episode of Cops. Like that. And it just involves people looking at people's cars.
That's terrible.
I saw this and I was like, wow, they're really helping me out here with this whole 20 thing, because I suspected 20. So a man named Kent Rogers of Kankakee was taken into custody because he had aggravated unlawful use of a weapon and a misdemeanor charge of unlawful possession of cannabis. How can you have an unlawful possession of cannabis?
Maybe too much. I don't know.
I don't know the rules. I'm sorry, guys. I just stick to lawful possessions of alcohol, so I don't know. So officers were on patrol in where? The Topgolf parking lot, when they observed a vehicle with a handgun in plain view. Why? Why does this keep happening? And then all they do is see if it's registered. And what's the answer if we're reading? Here's the plot twist in this one. The gun that had been observed was owned by a person who had a firearm owner's, like a FOID card, if you will, firearm owner's identification card, and a CCL, concealed carry license. But there was a second gun that was discovered in the search of the car. And guess what? That one was claimed to be owned by the man we talked about, who did not have a valid FOID or CCL. With Rogers' arrest, there have now been 9 firearm-related busts in or near the Naperville Top Golf parking lot this year. There was a 4-month break, guys. We had a 4-month break. But then they started up again in early February. There were 2 arrests in February, 2 in March, and 5 to date in April. We are totally getting to 20. Like,
but the trend is, and when the weather warms up, you're getting more of these arrests, see? See, so, that's the trend.
Okay, I didn't know this. Somebody is in on the bit at the Chicago Tribune. Ahead of this year, Naperville police made 25 arrests on gun-related offenses in the Top Gun, Top
Golf. It's a high-scoring offense.
I clearly want to talk about football and Top Gun. 25 arrests on gun-related offenses in the Top Golf lot between August 23 and October 2024. I like my chances.
I think they're going to get there. It's not even warm out yet. I mean, it just got warm.
Like, do people have conversations about this? And they're like, I'm going to go to Top Golf. And then somebody's like, hey, you might not want to leave your gun in the seat next to you when you shut your car. Also, I'm a big believer in vehicle like break-ins. I think a lot of people do that. I don't leave anything of consequence in a car. You know, like that's mistake number one. What are you doing just leaving stuff out in the car?
Yeah, if it's in your car, it should be in your trunk, out of sight.
And yet, they still keep happening.
The headline says it all, really, Layla. The Oscars mandate voters watch all nominated movies. I just want you to really let that wash over you.
What?
Oscars voters will no longer be able to skip watching some of the nominated films. Let me say that one more time. The people who vote for the Oscars, they are no longer able to skip watching the films on which they are voting.
Wait a second. So the Academy, the Motion Picture Academy, the thing that we're supposed to believe is so valid and honorable and, you know, gets all this TV time on ABC, who carries the Oscars. Everybody wants to thank them. And then we're like, hey, why do these nominees work out the way they do sometimes? Or like, why didn't this movie get nominated? Or why didn't this happen? They haven't even been watching the movies?
The Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences has announced that members will from now on be required to watch all nominated films in each category to be eligible to vote in the final round of Oscar voting. Up until now, Oscar voters had only been encouraged to watch the nominees and vote in categories they felt qualified in. But in recent years, what films get watched by Academy members has been increasingly seen as a significant factor in what wins. Let me run that back. But in recent years, what films get watched by Academy members has been increasingly seen as a significant factor in what wins. What? At the same time, the publication of anonymous Oscar ballots has often featured members confessing that they didn't get around to watching some notable films or not finishing lengthier nominees.
No, you have to watch The English Patient. You people voted that in. You got to sit through all football length of that movie. What are we doing here? That's like saying we don't watch the games.
It's very upsetting. The whole thing is upsetting.
I like 847. Breaking news. Jurors must show up to court every day and listen to all testimony. Yeah, that's pretty much the same idea.
The organization says it does monitor whether or not its members view nominated films on its private online screening room. Going forward, members will need to submit a form indicating whether they've seen films elsewhere, that's in quotes, elsewhere, such as a film festival or a private event, before they can vote for finalists.
I think that a lot of people have said that they've seen films and then they just vote based on whatever bias or influence and they haven't watched the movie.
He's like, I really like that trailer. I'm voting for that.
Or, is it an agency? Is it a movie studio? Is it a producer? You feel me? I think there's a lot of politics.
I did not know that this is how it was going down. But now that I know that, I'm glad that they're trying to make a way that people are held responsible for their actions.
By, I don't know, doing the obvious thing that the job should be about?
You said it, not me. But I agree with you, 100%.
Wow. Coming up next, it is Mike Florio. Mike joins us. He has a ton of draft news, so we will get to it all. That is next on the Midday Show on The Score.